Tonight I'd like to begin with a passage of Scripture found in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I want to focus on the latter part of verse 32 this evening, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Beloved, you and I ought to be trying to learn as much about our God as we can possibly know. Because the more you know about Him, the more you're going to trust Him. And the more peace you will experience in your life. But the people that do know their God. See, God has to reveal Himself to us. He has to bring about the new birth, give us a new nature, and He teaches us to know Him. But we can forget Him. We can get our minds distracted so easily in this world with so many problems, so many other things. But the people that do know their God. See, He's our God, but we need to know all we can about Him. But the people that do know their God shall be what? Strong and do exploits. We sing a song sometimes, I am weak, but Thou art strong. Can't we all agree with that? But the more we know about our God, the stronger we will be. And God wants us to know a lot about Him. He's given us a whole Bible that tells us a great deal about Him. As a matter of fact, the first verse of the Bible tells us a lot about Him. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What a profound statement that is. Now I want to turn with you to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and notice verses 34 and 35. Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? Now this is talking about God sending Moses to Egypt, where His people are enslaved, the Hebrew slaves, probably 1 to 2 million Hebrew slaves within the country or nation of Egypt. And God wants them out, and He wants to take them to the promised land. Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? By temptations, by signs, by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Now Moses is reminding Israel how God brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And he did it according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. They were eyewitnesses. These people were eyewitnesses of the plagues that God sent on Egypt and how he brought them up as on eagle's wings out of that bondage into the promised land. Notice verse 35. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know. Now listen to this. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. God wanted Israel to know that He was God and that beside Him there was no God. And beloved, at that time, they knew that. They saw that with their own eyes. You remember when Moses was in the wilderness and God appeared to him in the burning bush that burned and burned and was never consumed. And God spoke to him out of the burning bush and told him to take his shoes off because the ground he was on was holy ground. And God told him, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to lead my people out. You know, the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was being trained to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was amazing. I mean, he was being educated in all the ways of the Egyptians. He was no doubt being groomed to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But he got too much ego. You know what ego is? Ease God out. You ever known anybody to just ease God out? Like I'm somebody. Well, Moses kind of got that attitude. And he went out one day and saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew. And somehow he knew that those were his people. My guess is that his mother taught him. Because you remember when Pharaoh's daughter found the little baby Moses in the Nile River in a little basket, and Pharaoh's daughter sent Miriam, his sister, to get a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. You remember where Miriam went? She went and got Moses' mother and brought him to nurse the child and take care of it. So his own mother took care of him, was his nursemaid in Pharaoh's house. She knew who she was, and she knew who Moses was. And I'm sure she had told her son, you're not an Egyptian, you're a Hebrew. And at the age of 40, when he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, he took matters into his own hands and was going to deliver the Hebrew slaves by himself. And he slew the Egyptian. And because of that, the Pharaoh was wroth and he had to flee into a far country, into the wilderness, hiding out. And for 40 years, he hid out as a shepherd, tending sheep. Now there is quite a difference. The first 40 years he was learning how to be somebody. The next 40 years in the wilderness caring for sheep, he found out he was a nobody. And at the age of 80, God appears to him out of a burning bush and says, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to lead my people out. Now he's been humbled and he said, I'm of a stammering tongue. I can't talk. You got the wrong fellow. He's now been humbled. Did you know those are the kind of people that God can really use? People that are humble and leaning on him. And I hope our president learned that the day they almost killed him. And was it Massachusetts? He's mentioned that a number of times in his public speeches. I think God allowed that to happen to remind Mr. Trump, your hand, your life is in my hand. Your life is fragile. You need me to protect you. That's what I got out of it. And I do hope that he remembers that and will lean on God. Now Moses stands there and listens to God talking to him out of a burning bush. And Moses said, well, God, they're going to want to know who you are. And the strangest name in all the Bible, God said, you tell them I am that I am hath sent thee. Do you think there's any language on earth, including the Hebrew language, that could describe God? Yahweh. A lot of people use that name. Jehovah, a lot of names. But what name really captures the essence of our God? Well, God just said, you tell him, I am have sent thee. Not I was or I will be, but I am. And that's our God tonight. He is I am. Would y'all agree with that? God, in a sense, has given us a check on heaven's bank account. And God has said, I'll be to you whatever you need to be. Amen. I am what you need. Not I was or will be. I am tonight what you need. I hope you all understand that. You need to know that about your God. He is the great I am. How many of y'all remember that? See, the more we know about God, the less we'll worry and fear about anything. I tell you, fear is a snare. Solomon said in Proverbs 29, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And people living in fear can make a lot of foolish mistakes. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was under the influence of a brilliant man who was dumb, if I may say so. He's gone on to glory. But I tell you, that man was scared that our government was about to be overthrown and starvation was going to spread through the land. That was in the 1970s. And he convinced me that in order to have something to eat, I needed to buy all this dehydrated food. I borrowed over $1,000 to buy it. And you know what was on the cans? It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Now, brother, that settled it for me. I borrowed $1,000 to buy all this dehydrated food. You know where that food is today? My brother Franklin, who in fear dug a big hole right behind his house, a bomb shelter. My food is down there. Now, it's no longer any good, so y'all don't go down there in case of a famine. But out of fear, I did that. Franklin dug that hole out of fear. Fear has torment. Did y'all know that? How many of y'all struggle some with fear? But see, the more we know about our God, the less we will worry and fret and fear. He is the I am. And that's what he said to Moses. You tell Pharaoh, I am that I am hath sent thee. And so here in Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 34, Moses is reminding Israel, or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? How in the world could anybody go into Egypt, the strongest power on earth, and take a nation out of that nation? God can, and God did. Would y'all agree with that? Y'all do believe the Bible, don't you? A lot of references are made to that great event, even in the New Testament. I'll take a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations and signs and wonders and by war and by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Unto these it was showed that thou mightest know, listen, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. And you know, we sung that song tonight, How Great Thou Art. I love that song. I used to hear George Beverly Shea sing it. And I tell you, he could sing it, couldn't he? But he didn't sing it any better than y'all sung it tonight. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. See, I wasn't in Egypt. I didn't see the 10 plagues, but I do see the hand of God today. Do y'all? He's still on the throne. And when you see the stars and you hear the rolling thunder, you know he's God. And beside him, there is no God. And we rejoice in that this evening. I want to turn with you again to Numbers and notice with you a beautiful passage there in the Old Testament. The book of Numbers is following the book of Well, let's see. There's Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, and then there's Numbers. And it's a very interesting chapter here, Numbers 33. I want to notice with you an expression that is said here in this passage, Numbers 33, a very interesting verse of Scripture. Numbers 33 and verse 4, listen to this. For the Egyptians buried their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them, upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. See, the 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt, and by the way, Pharaoh just kept hardening his heart and hardening his heart. Now, there is scripture that says that God hardened his heart, but the reason I believe God hardened his heart is because God knew that Pharaoh was wicked. Pharaoh wanted to keep these wicked people, these slaves in Egypt. Pharaoh wanted their gods to be worshipped. So God is going to harden his heart also. And God is going in the process to destroy their gods. Listen to verse 4. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. See, the Egyptians worshipped many gods. We know there is only one God in the universe, but the Egyptians worshipped a plurality of gods. I mean, they had all kinds of gods. I want to turn with you just a moment here to Exodus, and I want us to look at the 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt. The first plague was he turned water into blood. That was the Nile River. It was their life source. Without the Nile River, Egypt could not have survived. They used it to water their crops. They used it for life, to sustain life. And when the Nile River was turned into blood, it just shut Egypt down. It would be like in America today if electricity was just turned off and you didn't have any more electricity. Could y'all function? It would be hard, wouldn't it? Well, God took, and see, they worshiped the Nile River. The Egyptians were that blind. They worshiped the Nile River. Every year they would find a beautiful young virgin girl, bind her hand and foot, and throw her into the Nile as a sacrifice of praise and worship to the Nile River. Now that's darkness. And God is going to judge Egypt's idolatry by judging their number one God, which was the Nile River. He turned it into blood. Did you know the Egyptian magicians could do that also? You remember when Moses, God said, how am I going to show him you sent me? God said, throw your rod down. It turned into a snake. And God said, pick it up again. And it turned into a rod. Well, when Moses did that to the Egyptians, did you know the Egyptian musicians could do the same thing? Y'all explain that for me sometime. I want to believe it was the devil's work. It was supernatural. There are people who say they could hypnotize a snake and turn it into a rod. But no, because later on, you remember Moses' snake ate up all their snakes. But I want to tell you, the devil's got a lot of power. Do y'all believe the devil has a lot of power? There's two differences. There's one difference in God and the devil. Satan has power. God has all power. But don't be deceived by Satan, brothers and sisters. Just saw something is amazing and supernatural doesn't mean it's of God. Satan's got a lot of power. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to tell you, he's dangerous. But God has all power. And that's why you and I need to know all we can about our God and find out in this book. I've often said, I probably said it 1,000 times, God wrote 2 books, the book of nature and the Bible. And the book of nature tells us a lot about our awesome God. And this book tells us a lot about him. And you and I need to be learning all we can about our God. The Egyptians worshiped frogs. Can you imagine somebody in such darkness they would worship a frog? But they did. So you know what God did? He filled their bedchambers with frogs. Their kitchens with frogs. Y'all wouldn't mind having a frog or two on your front porch, would you? Or your back porch. Maybe even one in the house. But what if you got hundreds of them all over your house? In other words, God was saying, y'all want to worship frogs? I'll give you plenty to worship. And he just filled their... That was the second plague God sent on Egypt. Now, the Egyptian magicians could turn water into blood, but they couldn't turn the blood back into water. Finally, the Egyptian magicians said, this is the hand of God. They're learning, painfully learning, that Israel's God is the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God that we are to worship and praise. God sent lice among them. He sent flies. He sent he sent boils. He sent hail. He sent locusts. They worshiped the sun. The sun was one of their main gods. And so God just sent a darkness over the earth that could be felt. There was a light in the Hebrew camps, but in Egypt there was a darkness that could be felt. And then finally, they worshiped life, their firstborns. Sadly, tragically, God required the firstborn of every family in Egypt would die. God was after their idols. He was tearing them down one by one by one by one. Y'all remember God spared his people, the Hebrews, because he gave Moses instructions. Let the father of every Hebrew family take a lamb, a firstling of the flock, and slay it and put that blood over their houses. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not when I see your faith, not when I see your good works, not when I see your intelligence, when I see the blood. And I want to tell you tonight, that was a picture pointing to Mount Calvary. And the only way you and I are going to be passed over is because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. And we're not to worship anybody or anything but our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, Daniel said, those that know their God shall be strong. We want to be growing in our knowledge of God, don't we? And I tell you, beloved, I want to encourage y'all to spend some time in your Bible. A member of this church told us the other day that she's reading through the Bible, and she started in the New Testament, which was a wise thing to do. You know, it's more readable, the New Testament. I mean, you get into Leviticus, a lot of Bible readers have slowed down and quit when they got to Leviticus. But I want to tell you, the more you read the scriptures, and you don't have to be reading through it, it's fine to read through it if you want to. What I love is the Bible recorded audio. I was listening to this. I was listening to Genesis this afternoon. I mean, a guy with a voice like it's a billion-dollar voice. He can pronounce every word in the Old Testament. You know, Brother Von Marshall used to, and he was reading from the Old Testament. He would say, and the Bible says, hard word. Then he would go on to something else. I have to do the same thing. I can't pronounce all those words. This man can. And let me, it just blesses me to hear him as he's reading to me the word of God. We are living in a wonderful day, technology-wise. Now, not everything about technology is wonderful, but it is good to have the Bible, audio on Bible. You can download it free of charge on your phone if you know how to do it. And we got some folks here that could do it for you. So, beloved, let's try to know all we can about our God, his power. And last Sunday I tried to preach here on what kind of relationship does God really want with us? He wants us to be his friend. We know he's our creator. We know he's our savior. We know he's our provider. I mean, he's our rock. There's a lot of ways of describing God. But to me, one of the most astounding verses in all of Scripture is found in the book of James, when James says that Abraham was the friend of God. And in John 15, Jesus said in the parable of the vine and the branches, I'm not any longer going to call you my servants. I'm going to call you my friends. Did you know your friends, are the friends you have, are very important? If you got good friends, they'll help you in life, bring a lot of good out of you. If you got bad friends, you better watch out. Evil communications corrupt good manners. But I want to tell you about a good friend, and that's Jesus. He's the best friend we could ever have. And you need to know he's your friend. You need to know he loves you. How many of y'all tonight know God loves you? He loves you more than your mama ever dreamed of loving you. And I'm sure your mother loved you and your father. But God's love is beyond comprehension. It's beyond description. He loves you. You need to dwell on how much God loves you. You just do. I think we sung a song today, didn't we? Safe in His love. And you need to know. You need to know about His rod. David said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I've got that written down on a chart at our house. I see it every morning. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And here's what I believe that's saying. He's our shepherd. And the shepherd is caring for the sheep. And we're just little sheep. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. The rod was designed to protect the sheep from predators like a wolf, a lion, a bear. That rod would take care of the enemy. He would knock them out, knock them away, kill them. But you see, the sheep's got to be close enough to the shepherd for protection. Y'all see that? See, if a sheep gets out yonder in the woods by himself, he's not going to be protected by the rod. I want to stay as close to my Savior as I can get. How many of y'all want to be close to Him? Come on now. We're all as close to God as we want to be because He's not moving. He just said, draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. That rod. Brother, when I'm with Him, He can take care of the predators. He can take care of the roaring lion. He can take care of the wolves. And thy staff, they comfort me. That staff had a curved end on it. And when a little lamb would fall over a cliff and couldn't get up, that shepherd's staff could reach down and pull him back. And you'd be shocked to know how many times God has pulled me back. I want to stay close to Him. What about y'all? Know as much about your God as you possibly can. It's good to get an education, know how to read and write. But I want to tell you, a lot of schools now are talking about putting the Ten Commandments back in them. Wouldn't that seem like to me that would be okay? What do y'all think? Let the kids see the Ten Commandments. See, those commandments are not grievous. They're protections. If you want to enjoy your life, live within the boundaries of those commandments. God gave them to us as, when you're going down a mountain and you look down there and it's a long way down there, they've got those, what do you call those things along the side of the road that would keep you from running over? Guardrails. When I was in Africa, I won't ever forget one time, Brother Obey and I got into a little bus in Nairobi, Kenya, going to an airport. We were in up in the highlands of Kenya where Brother Martin lives, and we were going to be going to Nairobi. And the bus was late, and there were no guardrails on any of those mountains. Now, you talk about praying. This little sinner prayed. I'm talking about seriously. There wasn't no, how you doing today, Jesus? It was help. Lord, keep us safe. Those guardrails are important. Those Ten Commandments are guardrails for you and me. They'll protect us. I want y'all to know your God is a good God. He's a loving God. You know how much He loves y'all? He gave His Son to die for you and me. Let's worship Him and praise Him all the days of our life.